Yeah. So, Angus, could you just tell us a little bit about how people can differentiate between genuine shin splints or if they are just a little bit unfit and lacking in sort of strength and around the lower limb? What would you say to that?
Yeah. I think the term shin splints is definitely overused. And anyone that says, yeah, I've got shin splints, it probably isn't. It's probably just a load intolerance if you haven't built up to running properly. And the shin muscles are just sore from running, which is normal. It's like if you go to the gym and do a Romanian deadlift, your hamstring is going to get sore. Yeah. Same thing can happen through your shin muscles. So yeah, your shin splints or your medial tibial stress syndrome is going to be slightly a bit lower down, more on the inner aspect of your shin bone across sort of 5 centimeters, as opposed to more muscular on that fleshy part of your shin. Yeah. And again, if there's hot spots on the front of your bone, that is slightly different to shin splints and maybe more a sign of a tibial stress fracture, which is worth chatting to your physio about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And just in terms of the way the pain behaves, in terms of like, can they run through it? Does the pain sort of build up and crescendo? And you mentioned earlier about pain at rest and pain at night.
Yeah.
What are your flags there, would you say?
Yeah. So typically a more progressed pathology or injury will have rest pain, night pain. Crescendo, descendo, decrescendo type pattern is more of a like an exertional compartment syndrome type pathology or injury, where, for example, you have some tightness or cramping in your calf muscle that happens with running, and then it goes when you rest, and then it increases again when you run, and then it stops when you rest. But bones, if they're unhappy, may ache after activity, whereas if it's more of a compartment type syndrome, less likely to ache after activity if you depends if you've pushed it too far, but yeah, less likely to have that after effect. Yeah.
So Angus, would you mind just telling us a little bit more about the importance of building muscle strength for runners, please?
Yeah. So your muscles and tendons are going to help absorb the force that is going to be going through your joints. So the stronger you are through your muscles and tendons, it's going to absorb those forces better than if you potentially have less muscle mass, less tendon strength. And you look at your ultra endurance runners, they're typically not your stereotypical slim Kenyan type build. They're a little bit bigger. They've got maybe some more fat on them to draw upon to get through the run. They've got a slightly bigger frame to tolerate the demands of the repetitive nature of running for hours and hours and hours and hours, which a slighter build probably wouldn't cope with. And they've got to that size likely through strength training.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's a really important point you make there about, we oftentimes think about the acceleration component of a muscle, but you're highlighting also about decelerating and shock absorption, which is obviously really, really important when we're thinking about running and the number of repetitions and the impact. And can you just tell us a little bit about the size and amplitude of some of the impacts that go through our joints and our bones when we run?
Yeah, for sure. So most sort of cited is your Achilles tendon. Most people are familiar with the big tendon at the back of your heel, attaches to your heel bone. And depending on how fast you're running, but it can go up to 6 to 8 times your body weight, which is a lot of force through the tendon. And if we're running and we're new to running and we haven't quite built up the tendon tolerance and strength, then it may increase your risk of a tendon type pain. So yeah, it really nails down the importance of heavy, slow resistance training, which tendons respond really well to, make them as robust as possible, and then make you more injury resilient and a better runner. Yeah.
So Angus, I'd be really interested to hear some of your thoughts about, obviously swimming is a fantastic form of exercise in terms of giving us that really good balance between resistance, you know, maybe less impact on people that are, you know, struggling a bit with sort of impact related exercise. How does it sit with you, or how do you see swimming sort of sitting within someone's overall sort of exercise program, or as an option for them if they're thinking about taking up swimming? How do you think it sits?
Yeah, I think swimming is a great way to get into exercise in general. as a sole way to be completely healthy in terms of considering the skeleton, I wouldn't only just do swimming, because swimming is a non-impact sport besides tumble turning off the wall.
Yeah.
Depends how aggressive you're doing that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would encourage that person to swim for sure, go for it, but also do some sort of impact training, whether that's resistance training, whether that's some plyometric training under the guidance of a physio to work your way into those types of training types. Yeah. Because swimming is low impact. It's great on the cardiovascular system. It's quite meditative. It's just you in the pool and just time to just switch off.
Yeah.
Which most runners can relate to as well. It's very similar in the water.
And just in terms of that whole car, I never feel like I've had a proper sweat when I've been swimming. I don't know why that is. But just in terms of, we know anything about how it sits versus running versus rowing as a cardiovascular exercise?
I feel personally that swimming is one of the hardest.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure whether that's because if you have a good technique, whether you're then able to work harder and use your muscles better, and then it has the flow-on effect to being more fatigued.
Yeah.
That could be a reason. But the carry across rowing and running and swimming, I'm not too sure the specifics of it, but if you have an effective stroke and you're doing the right type of swimming intervals, maybe if you did say 10 lots of 50 meter repeats, but you've only got 5 seconds rest in between, your heart rate's going to get quite up. It's going to really challenge your aerobic system on short rest.
Yeah.
You should feel quite a good buzz from that. And it's hard to sometimes tell whether you're working in the pool because you can't see if you're sweating or not.
I wore my t-shirt in the pool once and it got soaking, so I think I do sweat.
Yeah, I guess it's looking at your rate of perceived exertion is probably the main way.
Yeah.
Heart rate is getting better in terms of measuring in the water.
Yeah.
But RPE is probably your go-to.
Yeah,
if it's above 7, you're working pretty hard.
So overall, an excellent form of exercise, but as you say, do also consider to diversify a little bit so that you're getting the impact and everything like that. Excellent.
Even walking. I mean, walking is, it may seem straightforward, but it's got load through the bones.
Yeah.
And you need that for a healthy skeleton as you age across your lifespan. Because, our skeleton is at its peak from our early 20s, and then it just gradually starts to decline. So unless we're strength training and walking, running, impact type training, it's going to reduce at a faster rate than if you weren't.
Excellent. Thank you.